Welcome back. It is time for my favorite hour of the week. It is time for My Side of the Universe on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. I'm your host, Todd Wilcox, and the show is brought to you by our friends at the Eastern Utah Tourism and History Association, right downtown Price at the old 911 Pond Building. Go see them, see the great gifts they have any time of year, but with Christmas coming up, it's a really good time to go see them. Every time I go in there, I'm spotting things I want to get from my son, my daughter, their spouses, my wife, me. There's a lot of great stuff in there, and Sue Ann and Darren are great to talk to. Spend some time in there, hang out. They've got a cat, they've got some ghosts. It's a good time. So go see them at the Eastern Utah Tourism and History Association in downtown Price. And today we're just going to talk to Sue Ann. We're going to have a good time talking to her. We're going to talk about ghosts. We're going to talk about aliens a little bit. We're going to talk about experiences. It's going to be a good time. So stay with us on My Side of the Universe on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. We'll be right back with more fun. Welcome back to My Side of the Universe on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. I'm your host, Todd Wilcox, and today we are joined by one of our sponsors, Sue Ann Martell. Now, her nickname is Kitty, and I've known Sue Ann for about 3 years now, and for some reason, it never dawned on me that you had the nickname of Kitty. Sue Ann, if you could, I guess I should welcome you on. Welcome on, Sue Ann. Come on and talk. And then...
Todd, how are
you? I'm great. And then if you would, maybe tell us how you got the nickname Kitty.
Well, Kitty, I am honored to say that I was given the nickname Miss Kitty by somebody very dear to me, my former boss and museum person extraordinaire, Don Burge. I worked for Don for 13 years at the Prehistoric Museum here in Price, and he tried to get me into cowboy shooting. And at the time, I was like, I don't know. And he says, well, okay, tell you what, you need a name to get into cowboy shooting. And I said, okay. Well, I have no idea what my name would be. And he said, you kind of look like Miss Kitty from Gunsmoke. And I said, all right, I can go with that, because a very little known fact about me, I was actually born during an episode of Gunsmoke, and they had to pull my dad and the doctor away to come in for the birth. Awesome. So I've always been very partial to Gunsmoke. So I was like, yeah, okay, I can go with Miss Kitty. Well, then he comes back and he says, but you know, there's a lot of Miss Kitties in cowboy shooting. And so we need to give you an identifier, something from where you're from, people instantly relate to you. And I said, oh, okay. You know, what would that be? And he said, Tetons, Miss Kitty Tetons. So that is my name.
Okay. I love it. So I guess you lucked out with Gunsmoke. You could have been Dirty Sally just as easy, I guess, huh?
I could have been, I guess. Well, I guess I'm too, you know, you never know.
Festus would be awesome. Dirty Sally, not so much. That was an absolutely great show. I can remember watching that with my uncle, you know, I was a hyperactive child, but I usually settled down long enough to watch a few things, Star Trek, Lost in Space, Gunsmoke, and that was about it. Other than that, I was running. So, yeah, I was curious about your nickname. And I've really, as we were talking earlier, I've really never had many good nicknames. They've mostly been descriptors, and we can't say these words on air. But recently I was given a nickname by you, Captain Last Minute, because I tend to get with you just before we're going to talk. So
I'm with that. But now you got to get the suit. You got to get the suit put together and decide what Captain Last Minute. You know, what's your superpower? That kind of thing.
Well, I'm thinking Captain Last Minute's probably going to be really disheveled, probably just like a bathrobe, probably dirty bathrobe and a pair of those jammy pants things that people wear to Walmart, and maybe one slipper and missing the other.
I'm going to get you some mismatched slippers, and I'll make you at least a logo for your bathrobe for Christmas.
Excellent, excellent. I'll find me some nerd glasses with the, you know, the tape in the middle. I think that might finish it off pretty well. Very good. So you recently had an investigation. You left me hanging. You said, we've got some really cool stuff from our last investigation we can talk about. Why don't you tell us about the investigation and then maybe get into what you found, what's happening there?
Okay. Well, this year we decided to kind of change up our haunted history tours, and we added in two public ghost investigations. We did the Castlegate area, Castlegate Cemetery, and the mine entrance. And that's the one that we got a lot of really good stuff on. And then we also did the Schofield area, where we did the Schofield Cemetery and the Schofield School. And so we got some things there. It was a public ghost hunt. So you know how that goes. You've always got somebody on your group that's way more into the ghost hunting than everybody else. And so we did have a lot of folks that were just there for the fun and for the giggles. But, you know, we did actually get some good results that actually stretched across a couple of state lines. Very interesting stuff.
Excellent. So what happened? You had now, did you get stuff at both? I'm really curious about the state line crossing. Where do you want to start as you talk about the things you found?
Well, let's start with Schofield, because we only got a couple of things at Schofield. It was pretty doggone cold, but we were fortunate that Schofield Town allowed us access to the school. And a lot of people think that the school is mostly haunted by the miners that were killed in the 1900s winter quarters disaster. What we encountered, and our niece was the one that actually encountered it, freaked out a little bit. And of course, Bobcat, he had to run with it the rest of the night. She was in a room by herself, and she was videotaping an orb that kept coming right towards her. It kept running from one side of the room to the other, just kept coming right towards her. And we've trained her pretty well. We have told her, you know, you got to look at orbs objectively. Is it dust? Is it, you know, an insect, whatever? So she was kind of just watching it. And she said, well, okay, if this is all you got, I'm going to leave. And she started to walk towards the door of the room. And right in her ear, she heard a little voice, like a child's voice, say,
stay.
And it freaked her out. She threw her phone and ran into the other room. And of course, who does she take in there to help her with get over her fear is Bobcat. And yeah, not the best plan, but they went in there and he looked at her phone, and the orb, I will say in parentheses, see my air quotes, appeared to be moving in a specific pattern. It appeared to be moving towards her and then away from her and then towards her again. And she'd calmed herself down. And as they were walking out of the room, Bobcat leaned into her ear and said, "Tch." And that was pretty much the end of her for the night. it was good. She actually, she's actually one of our better, she tends to pick up on stuff pretty quick. So we like taking her with us.
And she makes great ghost bait.
Yeah, she's fantastic ghost bait.
And I guess that disembodied voice was Bobcat, is that correct?
It was the last time, yes.
No, I mean just now that said the bait.
Yeah, absolutely. That was Bobcat saying ghost bait, yes.
Okay. So while we're talking real quick about Bobcat, we need to find out how that nickname happened. And then we'll get back to Schofield.
So he, when he got into cowboy action shooting, which was many years after I had been in it, and gotten mine. I had been involved with the Society for Creative Anachronism. You know what that is?
I do not.
These are the folks that dress in medieval and go out, and we hit each other with swords and sticks and dress in armor and that thing. We had done that for years, and he was trying to figure out what name he wanted. He wanted to keep part of his medieval name, which is Tepeș, which is actually his real last name from Romania. And he decided, you know, I'm Kitty, and he had a bobcat hybrid as a pet, and he thought, you know what? Bobcat and Kitty, that works out pretty good. So that's how he got to be Bobcat Tepeș.
Very good. So did he have the bobcat hybrid there in Price or somewhere growing up?
It was he had it in Grand Junction when he was living in Grand Junction.
Okay. Because there's another person in town that had
sweetheart.
A bobcat as well. The owner of the Les Schwab tire store, he had a bobcat growing up for a little while. That was just his great buddy. So very cool. A lot of people have bobcats.
He was 28 pounds of love. That was him. He was a big,
so he was kind of the cat version of bobcat.
Absolutely. Absolutely. 28 pounds of love.
Excellent. All right. So yeah, my ADD is really kicking in today. Sorry, we're going all over the place. Let's go.
You're good. I can follow you.
Okay. So after your niece got terrified in Schofield, what happened after that?
Actually it was pretty doggone quiet in Schofield other than that. You know, we had a few hits on the EM detector. We took some toys up to see if we could get some activity with some of the toys and get some kids to interact with us that way. Didn't get a whole lot there. It was Castlegate that really, and I don't need to tell you, because you know, Bobcat is the skeptic of the group.
Right.
He is the one that will say everything is a logical explanation to something. When we finished up at Castlegate, he turned to me and he said, "Wow, that was impressive. I totally believe we caught something." So when the skeptic says that, you know, you kind of go with it.
You kind of listen, huh?
Exactly.
Well, very
so,
good.
We were doing the Schofield Cemetery or the Castlegate Cemetery. And we had decided that we wanted to do three areas of Castlegate. And I don't know how familiar you are with Castlegate. I know you know where it's at. Castlegate stretched into not only Price Canyon, but also stretched into the canyon that goes up into Indian Canyon.
Okay.
And the cemetery there is in that section. So we decided to investigate the cemetery. We wanted to investigate the mine entrance where the 1924 mine explosion occurred. And then we got permission from Price River Water Improvement District to go onto their property in a side canyon, and that still has some buildings from that time period. And they were great to work with. We thank them very much for allowing us to do that. And it was very interesting because we got the most activity in the cemetery. Most people think that cemeteries are, pardon the pun, I'm going to be terrible, a dead zone. We've actually had some good activity in the cemetery. And this particular investigation, like I said, it stretched across state lines. We had decided, because we had a bunch of public on the tour, we weren't going to go into a whole lot of history. We were just going to give them the opportunity to investigate and see if they came up with anything. I purposely took them to graves where I had researched the people and knew their stories. And so I was kind of directing the yes and no answers or questions on the EM detectors based on what I knew. I knew if they were going to tell me a correct answer.
Okay.
And we went to a particular grave that had two gentlemen in it that were killed in the 1924 explosion. And Bobcat and I have been working with their relative, their living relative in Arizona. She is writing a history of their lives and writing a book about their experiences coming from Scotland and moving to Castlegate and then their ultimate death in the mine. So I've been helping her quite a bit. So I had quite a bit of information on them. And we had five EMF detectors, and it should be noted that the Castlegate Cemetery, again, is a dead zone. You have no cell phone, you have, you know, no wireless, you have a very quiet background.
Okay.
We put the EMF detectors down on the edge of their plot, and what was interesting was I started asking questions, you know, basic yes or no questions. Light it up for yes, dark if it's no. And I was asking questions that I knew the answers to. So I asked if it was Peter and Thomas that we were talking to. And what was interesting was we could actually pick out an EMF detector and say, make that one go off. And then it would. And then the other four would be dark. And then sometimes when we were asking questions, all of them would go off at the same time in sync. So it was kind of interesting that way. What we found out was I was directing people to go ahead and ask some questions. And they had asked if Peter and Thomas were in heaven. And it said no. And they said, are you on earth? And it said, flashed yes. And they said, are you working? And it said, yes. And they said, in a coal mine. And it was black. And I said, are you helping Lisa, which is their relative, write your story? And it went, yes. And I was excited. You know, yeah. I thought that was pretty cool. And so I said, do you know who Lisa is? And it said, yes. And it went on for several minutes that way in a very good yes and no type of a situation. I had two dowsing rods, which I have admittedly not played with very much. And I was holding the dowsing rods. And there is a body map that shows where every person that was killed in the 1924 explosion was located inside the mine. And I've studied that map quite extensively. And so I had the dowsing rod in my left hand and I said, Peter, take this piece of metal and turn it to where your body was found. And he turned it right to the direction of where his body was found in the mine underneath us. And I said, very good. Now, Thomas, and I knew that Thomas was found in a different location than Peter was, a very different location. He was found completely on the opposite side of the coal mine. And I said, now, Thomas, show me with this piece of metal where your body was found. And it turned completely around and went in the opposite direction.
In the correct direction.
In the correct direction, yes.
Wow. That is amazing. Suann, unfortunately, we're up against it time-wise. We're going to break away for just a minute and do some commercials, but we'll be right back with more of Miss Kitty Tetons talking about the adventures that they've had recently in Castle Country on My Side of the Universe on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. Welcome back to My Side of the Universe on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. I'm your host, Todd Wilcox, and we are joined today by Miss Kitty Tetons. And I'm thinking that might be the last time I say that because I'm going to mess that up and have to beat myself. So we're
going to... You can just call me Kitty.
Okay, we'll just go with Kitty from now on, or Suann, one of the two.
She's... One of the two. I answered everything.
Okay. She's one of the co-owners of Eastern Utah Tourism and History Association. I can finally say that without stumbling over my tongue. And our sponsor.
Good job.
Yes, thank you. And So be sure to go check out her store. We'll talk about that more later. But, you know, when you were talking about the cemeteries as being a place that people call dead zones, I've had good success in them and bad success. And when I say bad success, I mean just nothing would happen. And then other times, highly active. For me, I can't get my hands around why somebody would want to hang out where their body has been buried, what the attraction is. I've never understood that part, but we have gotten some pretty good EVPs. And did you ever watch the movie Porky's?
Yes.
So we're in a cemetery one time in the middle of nowhere in Idaho. It's just one we saw on the side of the road, and we're walking around, and there was probably 20 headstones, maybe more, that said Hunt on them. For the last name. And so I'm, of course, looking for Mike and hoping that he'll say his name for us, just like they did on Porky's. And we did get a Hunt on an EVP, but it was not Mike or Michael. And so I was disappointed, but at least we did get somebody saying Hunt. but I did try. I'm curious with when you were getting the response about, you know, are you in heaven? Did you get the sense, and I immediately started thinking, you know, what would I have followed up question wise with that is, do you go back and forth? Do you go to heaven and leave heaven? Have you been to heaven? Are you working your way there? There's a whole bunch of follow-up questions I would have asked to that. Did you go into any detail that way or anything like that?
We didn't at the time. But then talking to, the relative of these two deceased miners, it kind of put it all into perspective, and she filled in the gap. Because unbeknownst to me, at the same time that we're doing this ghost hunt with and coming up with stuff on her relatives, she was at a training session for her work earlier in the day about her ancestors and connecting with her ancestors. And she said, I get the distinct feeling that my ancestors are helping me write this book. And when I told her what we had encountered at the cemetery, I had no idea that she had done this earlier. And I said, you know, they specifically said that they were working. And she said, yeah, they're working on writing their book.
Wow.
And so it appeared to me that once the book is done, once they have done this for themselves and for their, you know, children's children, that they're going to be gone, that they're going to move on. But this is what their work is to do.
Okay.
So it kind of made sense, you know, it kind of made sense to me at that point.
Yeah. And the whole heaven afterlife thing is, you know, one of the things that I think draws people to the ghost hunting. What's your thought on, you know, what it is that we're connecting with? Are you looking at it as a spirit, there's all kinds of theories about what an EVP is or the things that we're getting responses on. Anything from, you know, we're in an area where the veil between dimensions is thin, to spirits, to demons, to all kinds of things. What's your thought on what's going on when you're getting these EVPs? What is it? Is it something you would call a ghost, a spirit? What's your thoughts?
I have encountered personally, and this was something that was never not talked about at my house. The topic of ghosts came up a lot during family dinners because everybody in my family had had some kind of experience at some point. So it wasn't one of those subjects that was taboo. You just, yeah, they exist. You know, something weird happened. This is what happened. So in my experience from even when I was a kid, I think you run into several different things in different situations. I can say that I have had conversations with intelligent hauntings, intelligent spirits, if you will, that will converse with you. I've also encountered what can only be described as Memorex. You know, it's just an image that plays over and over and over, regardless of whether you're there or not. And, you know, I think there's a multitude of energy out there. And, you know, just the way it manifests depends on the situation.
So you're thinking there's many different things. And I really like the way you described the Memorex. And then you said energy, and I was about to say energy loop. So we were kind of right on the same wavelength there. I'm curious what causes that and, you know, those things. So, and a little bit off topic, have you had contact with things in your investigations where they maybe do talk about visiting heaven or, you know, what their goal isn't probably the right word, but, you know, maybe people are working towards getting to heaven after they do pass. Have you had any of your investigations where you ran into that type of phenomena?
I don't know that really heaven has ever really come up.
Yeah.
I can say that in the instance of my family, and this is just my own personal observations that I have seen and my own thoughts. My family, my parents are both deceased. All of my grandparents are deceased. I have had interactions with them a lot. Do I think my parents and my grandparents are not in heaven? No, I don't for a minute. I think, and go ahead and laugh, please feel free to judge. The way I envision heaven is kind of like a big waiting room and they can step forward and say, "Hey, Sue Ann, you're being stupid. Let me smack you around a little bit and get you right back on the other path. And I'm just going to step back over here and keep watching." Okay. I think they are just there. They're just right there. And it's not like heaven's a million miles away. It's just there.
And they're not physically separated from us. If you're in heaven, you're not removed from what's happening in the earth. Is that kind of what you're saying?
That's how I see it. Yes.
Okay. And I had never run into anything, and I'd never thought to ask the question or have been with anybody that asked the question about heaven like you did with that group in the cemetery. And that's kind of what led me down that path. So yeah, I just never, it never crossed my mind to do that. But I think it's a way to get into some really cool follow-up questions that might get you thinking and doing some other stuff. So before you tell us a little bit more about that investigation, I want to congratulate you on something. A lot of people go on ghost hunts and trespass. They just show up at a place. They might climb a fence. They do all kinds of things they shouldn't be without the permission of the people that own it. So I want to thank you for being a responsible investigator and getting those permissions beforehand. And when we do it that way, it really increases the chances that we're going to get to do it again in the future and that other groups are going to get a chance to go visit. So I want to thank you for doing it the right way and being a responsible investigator.
Absolutely. It's very important to us because, you know, we feel like developing a good working relationship with these entities, these property owners and these different groups. You're right. It really fosters the investigative area because that's going to allow more people, you know, they're going to be like, "Oh yeah, they're really conscientious and they, you know, they don't leave their trash around." And yeah. So absolutely. It's really important to us to do it that way.
And that's something that the team I'm on, anytime we've been to a place, we bring out at least a grocery size bag of garbage with us when we leave. We try to make the place better than when we got there. So when we find that people have left a mess, we try to help clean up and keep it nicer. But for sure, don't leave any of your own stuff. And you know, for ghost teams out there, wouldn't hurt to take a bag with you and take a little out. So
absolutely.
So what else happened while you were there?
So sadly, we didn't get a whole lot of activity in front of the mine, which we were kind of hoping that we would. However, the mine pardon the pun, was dead. So we moved on to this side canyon and went up to the one building that's still standing that's in beautiful shape. I say that as a historian and a ghost town freak, you know, anything that's vertical is in beautiful shape.
Yes.
So it's in beautiful shape. Doesn't have a roof, but it's gorgeous. We went up there and, this is one area that I didn't know a whole lot of history on. I knew what the canyon was called. I knew that what its original purpose was for, but I had no idea about the purpose of this building. And so we were just kind of going in there absolutely blind. Again, we set the EMF detectors on the floor, had some good yes and no question sessions going on. I got some interesting, and I know Bobcat makes fun of it. He calls it my magic eight ball, but I have a device on my phone that supposedly reads out the words that you can't hear in the area. And I was actually getting responses to my questions on that. I asked if the building that we were in held machinery, and instantly it came up possibly. We have not had a chance to review the audio footage to see if that was actually corresponded. And like I said, public ghost hunt, we had a lot of contaminated evidence. So we'll see what we get. But, you know, it was quite interesting. It was a very interesting area and someplace we want to go back to in the future and see what we can come up with.
Yeah, that sounds like a very fascinated, very active area. I think it would be a really good place to head back to. And and I'm guessing that you had a pretty good turnout for it. That's a fun thing to do in the fall, huh?
Absolutely. Like I said, we wanted to get it out, you know, just kind of change it up from the standard history, haunted history tour and add something new and exciting. And, you know, we've had some offers since then of different places to go to investigate that people are interested in. So we'll see how it goes. But, you know, it was a fun time. It was a good learning experience for us, and we know how to do them better now. And so, yeah, it'll be great.
Excellent. Yeah, one of the things when you were talking about cemeteries kind of being dead areas, a lot of the times we've gone there, we've never gotten anything. And so, a place that I thought would be very good for EVPs were the petroglyphs that are all around Castle Country, Nine Mile Canyon and different places. And
yeah,
when I was out a couple summers ago doing those, I went to, I bet I stopped at 20 different places and did EVP sessions and got nothing. I have never been more excited to review a recording in my life as I was for those. Cause I'm really fascinated by the petroglyphs, and it's when I'm looking at those things, I'm really in a happy place. And I got nothing. It was heartbreaking. Have you done any EVP sessions around those and tried to find out what they meant or anything like that? And have you had any results from them?
I haven't done any EVP sessions around them. I have been around them physically a lot. And I have had some experiences in Nine Mile Canyon I cannot explain. One of the experiences definitely involved a settler in the area, not necessarily Native American, but a settler in the area. The other couple of experiences have involved Native American culture, and I've never tried to get an EVP there. You know, I'm kind of like when I'm in front of rock art, I'm like, yay, rock art, and you know, I'm uber focused on the rock art, not necessarily thinking about who made it.
Okay.
But I will definitely have to try it, because I have had experiences in Nine Mile Canyon I cannot explain.
Yeah.
And I've seen things in the canyon I can't explain.
So, yeah, Nine Mile Canyon's an amazing place. We do have to break away for a commercial break, but when we come back, let's talk about Nine Mile Canyon a little bit. Will that be all right?
You bet.
Awesome. We'll be right back with more My Side of the Universe on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. Welcome back to My Side of the Universe. Our guest is Kitty. We're just going with Kitty Martell.
Yeah.
And she's co-owner of Eastern Utah Tourism and History Association, our sponsor. And we were talking about some of the adventures they had recently. And now we're going to talk about one of my favorite places in the world, Nine Mile Canyon. One thing before we start, Sue Ann, as I just said, 9 miles, one of my favorite places in the world. Where would you go if you could go anywhere and do an investigation of any kind? Where would you pick? If money was not an object, time was not an object.
I would actually, there's a couple of places that are on my list, and someday I will get there. I want to do Dracula's Castle in Romania.
Okay.
And I would love to do, I don't really care which one, I would love to do any castle in England, Scotland, Wales, anywhere.
Very good. Yeah, when I was watching that Ghost Hunters International, the investigations they did at the castles in the area you just talked about had some crazy things going on. I could see that being a lot of fun. So, yeah, I think that's a great decision. What draws you to those other than, you know, Darren with Dracula's Castle, but what draws you to those things?
I don't know. I've always been very partial to medieval history. And I really believe that, again, going back to this is energy, that we're talking about. I really think that the energy that surrounds those castles just makes it extremely conducive to having some type of interaction.
Yes. Yeah. I think you're absolutely right. The history, the energy, all the things that have taken place, make it a prime location. And you could do some of your reenactments while you're there. How awesome would that be?
That would be very, very cool. Except I'm really afraid they would laugh at me badly.
You'd want to do it for sure after the investigation, but how could you not go there and do a little bit?
They would be saying, really? This is how you sword fight now? Really?
Yeah, that would be great. So in Nine Mile Canyon, we talked about it a little bit on the break. It's one of those places to me, I go out there and it's like the air is different. It's almost calmer than other places. There's a sense of calm, but there's also an anticipation when you're out there. I don't know how to explain the two things happening at once. You know, it's very calm, very inviting, very relaxing, but you just feel like there's something around the next corner. There's something about to show itself. And I'm getting goosebumps talking about it. Really love it out there. And you've had experiences and just maybe tell us what your thoughts are on 9 Mile. And then if you could start with the settler and then we'll move into the experience you had with the Native American type stuff.
As I said, I worked for the Prehistoric Museum for 13 years, and I did archaeology survey in that canyon during that time. And there's a ghost town out there called Harper.
Right.
And I was out there late one night. It had gotten dark. And if you have never been in 9 Mile Canyon in the dark, I highly recommend you go do that, because that is, you think it's strange during the day, you think it has an interesting feel. At night, it's even better. I was driving my car back down the road, and I was just approaching Harper. And Harper was kind of a wild place. It had a saloon and a hotel where the owner of the saloon and the hotel was notorious for cheating at cards. And if he didn't win, you most likely didn't walk out of there alive.
Oh, man.
So, you know, you've got that kind of path there. And as I'm coming up on Harper, in the field across from the hotel, there was a fire that was burning. And it was burning in a perfect square. I've seen a lot of brush fires. They don't typically burn in a square.
No.
And I sat there and watched the fire for quite some time, trying to decide how I was going. This was when cell phones were just coming out, and, you know, in the canyon, it's a cell phone free canyon anyway. And I was trying to figure out if I could get down to Wellington quick enough to report a fire. And I thought, you know, it's burning in a square. That's really odd. And as I hit the gas, because I made the decision I was going to head down to Wellington as fast as I could, my car died. It went completely and totally dead. I lost all my lights. I lost all my electronics, everything. The car was at a very slow roll. Got past the town of Harper on this slow roll around the corner. Everything started again and all my lights came on, and I headed into Wellington. Next day, I decided I was going to go out there and see what kind of fire that was. Drove back out there during the day, couldn't see a thing. The field had never been on fire. Absolutely nothing going on there. So I have no idea what that was. Perhaps I did have a UFO encounter in Nine Mile. I don't know. But I tend to more believe that it was something to do with this hotel and the guy that ran it.
So how big was the fire? What were the dimensions?
It was probably a good football field size.
Wow.
In a square. The middle was not burning, just the edge, and in a perfect square. Yeah, it was very strange. And then to get out there and there's absolutely no marks, no nothing.
Yeah.
It was one of those odd experiences you can't explain.
Yeah. And well, then one of the questions I have is, did you have any time loss during this?
I really didn't. I was very aware that it was taking me forever to have my car in neutral and rolling past Harper. Until I got around the corner and, you know, I had no power steering. I had to wrestle a car around the corner. And as soon as I got around the corner and out of sight of the town, everything came back on and I was free to go.
Wow. You know, all the times that I've been up there in Nine Mile, I always stop just past the turnoff to Harper and mm-hmm. I'm all over those petroglyphs right there.
Right
on the road, and I've never gone to Harper. So next time I'm in Nine Mile, I am definitely going to Harper. That
definitely
is
go.
Awesome.
And yeah.
Okay.
Do realize Harper is private property, so view it from the road. But yeah, it's impressive.
Okay. That yeah, I can't wait to do that. So very good. So and then you. So that's one of your 9 mile stories. Tell us about the settler, the experience you had with the settler, or was that it?
That was the settler.
Okay.
The Native American side of it. I think in a way, anybody that does archaeology has to be kind of, has to have a little bit of paranormal background with them as well, because you see stuff that you can't explain. One of the biggest things in Nine Mile Canyon that has been true since I've known about the canyon and done work in the canyon, anytime a burial was found in the canyon, and there have been very, very few burials found in the canyon relative to how many people actually lived there. But anytime a burial was found, it would begin to rain in the canyon, and it would rain torrentially in the canyon where you were finding that burial. It was like clockwork. You knew if you uncovered a burial, it was going to start raining within the next 10 minutes.
Wow.
Very, very strange thing. And it's quite a common phenomenon in that canyon. It just happens every time you find a burial. And that's probably the most that I've experienced in the canyon, other than you always feel like someone's watching you. There's always that feeling that there's, if you look up at the cliff really quickly, you may see someone looking at you. I've always felt that way in the canyon, that there's just somebody just watching out for that canyon all the time.
Yeah. And you just always think something's going to go on. Another yeah. weird thing in that canyon is you get strange echoes and, you think that there's a plane nearby and you never see it because of the odd echoes there. And, you know, there's just all kinds of wild stuff going on that I really wish, you know, if there's any listeners out there that own property on Nine Mile and you would like us to go investigate or you'll let us spend some time on it, I would love to. So just throwing that out there in case anybody would enjoy having us there. We'll be glad to come out.
And there's plenty of public land out there that we can certainly go out and do some EVP recordings and see if we catch anything. So.
Yeah, without question. There's plenty of public land. And it's just an amazing place. I do need to spend some time out there in the evening. Like you said, it as wild as it is during the day, I typically was heading out, you know, because it was at the end of a day that I'd go out there just to relax and check things out. So I didn't stay there too late normally, but I think I need to go spend at least a half an evening out there and just sit down and be quiet and see what happens.
It's worth it because not only do you get, I mean, you get the canyon just talks to you. You get the sounds of the elk and you know, the wildlife, the owls and things are amazing. And then beyond that, you still get that feeling that you are just walking into their lives. You're walking into, you know, a prehistoric scene that's happening right in front of you, and it's still going on.
Yeah, it's truly an amazing place. And I would encourage people, you know, if you haven't been out there, you need to go. I've talked to so many people that have never gone out there, and it's just one of those incredible places, and you're right there. Man, you don't want to miss out on it and end up moving away and having never gone there. Or, you know, there's many just wonderful places to be in the Castle Country area, you know, out at the Wedge, at Buckhorn Wash. Buckhorn Wash has an amazing picture on it. One of the guests that we've had on here a couple times, Richard Casero, identified a thing called the God Self Icon. That's that figure. It's a person sometimes, usually with some kind of a headdress, helmet looking thing and robes, holding their arms straight out, holding something in each hand. Usually it's a snake in each side, but sometimes it's other animals or a stick or things. And we've got a beautiful representation of that on Buckhorn Wash. So there's just great things in the area to go see and do. Really an amazing place.
Well, and on a future show, I would love to talk to you more about my views on ancient aliens and rock art, because don't tell Bobcat, because he's a skeptic, but I fully believe that you know, they had a little influence from someplace else.
Yes,
in a lot of instances.
Yep. Great. I have a big note with circles and exclamation points, so we'll be going over that.
Perfect.
yeah, that is for sure. Well, we've just about run out of time, Sue Ann. Is there anything you want to talk about before we end for this week?
You know, come on in, visit with us. We're getting everything put together for our Christmas season, and we have some fantastic gifts for everybody on your list. We've got everything from the ghost stories, the ghost books, all the way through history. And we've got some brand new, speaking of Nine Mile Canyon, some brand new designed rock art earrings and some plaques that are absolutely beautiful that an archaeologist out of Cortez, Colorado has done for us, exclusively for us. And they're Nine Mile Canyon and San Rafael Swell, Buckhorn Wash. So they're a perfect gift for Christmas. And whether or not you believe that aliens were influenced by them or aliens influenced them, they're still gorgeous rock art.
Yeah. And the other things you have in there, just walking through your store, I find myself, you know, going, okay, there's my son's birthday present. That's for Christmas for my son. I'm getting that for my daughter for her anniversary. I'm getting this for her husband. You know, I have this laundry list as I walk through there every single time. So yeah, I encourage people to go see you. And the best way to find you is just to look for 911, right?
That's right. We've actually got some new signage going on the building today. So what you're going to for besides the 911 pawn that's permanently attached to the side of our building. You're going to be looking for some beautiful Explore Eastern Utah signage on the front windows. So
excellent.
We're easy to find right on the corner of Carbon Avenue and First North in Price.
And you've got some ghosts there that people can interact with as well.
We do. They're mostly friendly as long as the cat's around. If the cat's not around, they're not as friendly, but, you know, we adapt.
Very good. Well, Sue Ann, as always, thank you for joining us on My Side of the Universe. It was a blast, and I can't wait for the next time.
Thank you, Todd.
All right, we'll talk to you soon on My Side of the Universe on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. And once again, my favorite hour of the week, the fastest hour of my week, has ended. The hour that I get to spend with you on My Side of the Universe on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. I can't tell you how much I appreciate being here each week, talking to you, talking to the guests. We get to talk to some amazing people. We talk to people all over the world. This is a local show, but we get people from everywhere, from Easter Island to Ireland, Spain. We've talked to people all over the world, Maine, Massachusetts, Southern United States. I guess we'll have to see if we can find somebody in Russia soon. Talk to them as well. It's been great. I really enjoy talking with you each week, and I hope you're enjoying it as much as I am. Sue Ann was great. Some really fun stories. We'll be talking about aliens soon with her, and I've got some other fun guests lined up. So thank you for joining us each week on My Side of the Universe. I'm looking forward to our next visit, and it'll just be next week on My Side of the Universe. And remember, you matter. Until you multiply yourself by the speed of light squared, then you energy. We'll see you next week on My Side of the Universe on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.